chances of anybody who can really make problems for me, actually coming here and making problems for me, are pretty low. You know? That and the fact that if there's illegal things or unfair things going on around me, I don't really care. I'm going to let God fix that up. I'm not going to, you know, it's like people who go, we need to clean up our town. We need to get out all the drugs and all the other things. And I'm kind of indifferent and say, well, can I be honest? If people are on drugs, they tend to be a little more facile, or however you say it. And that means they're less likely to make trouble. If people basically have what they want, they're not a problem. If you start getting weird about it and saying, well, we're going to really cut off the marijuana problem, and you go, you're going to start stirring up crap. There's going to be trouble.
Yeah, what's the problem is getting here and doing just right because somebody thought that they were trying to get into the police for the methadone.
Yeah, and you go, why is that interesting? Because I don't care. Because now, I don't want people taking meth. I said, but I don't see anybody, you know, forcing people to take meth at gunpoint. It doesn't happen. There's plenty of people that want it. They're fulfilling a need. Well, it's not pure. It could have weird crap in it. It could really mess you up. And you go, well, that's what meth does.
Yeah.
It's just so... It's just...
It's all
about meth. And people get hooked on it. And you're going, I'm not going to fight it. Because, you know, when you want to try to fight this trade, this is people's livelihoods that are kind of on the line. And they've got a tendency to get big guns and threaten your family, try to kill you. And you go, don't do it. Don't bother. Evil's next door. I think there's even scriptures about saying, leave evil alone. Don't try to solve it. Yeah, so that's why I would make a terrible police officer, and I'd make a terrible government person, because I don't care. I would rather have it quiet. I'm not looking out for it. You know, I'm not on the freaking prowl for it. It's like, yeah. I don't care. I says, frankly, you know, I said, I know lots of drugs pass through this place. It's a major corridor for the drug trade, which should tell you something. It's just a major corridor, period. You know? And you go, that's okay. That's three-quarters of the reason why the place is here. Says, I hate to let you know that people who live in crappy houses but have amazingly expensive vehicles, which is most of them, are associated with the drug trade in some fashion. I said, and along with having nice big vehicles, they've also probably got nice big weapons. And is it worth dying for? And they go, nope. Because men will tend to tell her their secrets because they hope it gets them closer to her for the pheromones. course, women can't stand her on any level. You know. But the funny thing is that men will protect Lucretia, which totally floors all the women. It's just as confusing for the women as it is for the men. Part is when it ends up being a woman's husband, you know, that's kind of under the thrall, and they all are.
Yeah, it's 4th of July.
We're getting ready for 4th of July, honey? Cool. So, anyway. To the end until their wife just goes, oh, screw it, or leaves him. You know, it's like, well, it's your choice. He's powerful, he's got money, you're going to lose that money. I know you're having to give a percentage of it to this other woman, and that seems disloyal or whatever, you know. Yeah. So, yeah, I can see it being a lot of fun, and that you can throw a lot, there's plenty of evil. You can throw a lot of evil against this. And it's kind of like a murder mystery. If it's a murder mystery book, you know there's going to be a murder mystery, right? You expect it. Well, that's kind of how these books will probably be. It's all about every single guy or woman, every single person that falls into, you know, that comes into contact with Lucretia is gonna ultimately reveal their evil to her. And she's like, don't even have to call it God's secret weapon. The universe's secret weapon to keep evil in check. It's somebody like Lucretia. Where it's like, oh my gosh. You know, and it mostly has to do with, you know, for all we know, in that, when that door opens and that guy goes in and the door closes, it's a big blackmail session for all you know. It may have nothing to do with sex, but you don't know. All you know is when they walk out, whatever their intention was going in, something else happened.
Is she a hypnotist or?
You don't know. And maybe she won't always be underlining and circling words and phrases in astrology books. But she really is doing just bizarre things with her time, with her spare time.
So
it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Maybe she's like on the guy on What Women Want. She can read their mind.
Who knows? Never going to reveal it. Never gonna, because it's not interesting. And you can, and every single week you can lead people kind of down a different primrose path about what might be happening, and you just never find out. Because it's mostly in the gradual, honest reveal of these people when they spend more time around her. threatens every woman that she comes in contact with. Every single one of them. Usually on a very chemical level. To accomplish and trying to, you know, bag themselves a powerful man, yada yada yada.
It's beautiful. Gorgeous. I'm here.
Good. You're gonna say that every time we come up here.
Yeah. Oh. I say the same thing every time I go down the cat rock too.
Yeah, I know. Well, Lisa, it's your nest. And you like your nest. Just hope people don't spend a lot of time making your nest into a miserable place. Souring on you. I know this calling, doing a good attempt. Even when these guys swear up and down that God parted the heavens and said a person's supposed to be doing something, I'm still a little bit leery of that.
I'm trying to get the sun on my leg, but I keep getting in that shadow.
Is that the problem? Is that why you got pale legs?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Not in shadow. So
well, then Matt, you just need to keep going forward, man. Don't.
Well, we're all in shadow right now.
Don't start slowing down because you think we are. Just go ahead and keep booking it. Our job is to try to keep up with you, not for you to worry about how fast we're going. Anyway. I don't subscribe to most of the priesthood leadership's philosophy of spreading this thing around because it's supposed to build character. I think that's garbage. I think it changes on a regular basis so that
people don't burn out.
No, because that isn't the concern, is that people burn out. The concern is that people start feeling like they own that level of power and prestige. That's always what the scriptures are talking about.
It's
never talking about the other thing.
I don't care about prestige as Relief Society president. I never wanted to be Relief Society president.
Yeah, but that's kind of how leadership has started recasting this stuff, as in everybody needs to have a chance to do this, and you go, I don't think that's even beginning to be true. But I didn't like leadership because leadership usually got in the way of me doing what I do. You know, that's why on my mission it was like, no, keep Nemro in the trenches, don't give him leadership. Blech. He's good in the trenches, and you go, that's great, that's fine, I'm a trench guy, and I don't mind it. It's sometimes I feel like I'm being slighted, but as time has gone by, I realize that, you know, I'm better doing the basic stuff and being left alone by and large. to do it. You know, almost everybody in a management position over me just stops trying to manage me, which is great. You know, it's like, don't bother. Nimrod's going to do what Nimrod does. He doesn't need me poking him. He doesn't need me doing anything. He's going to do the stuff that needs doing. He doesn't need management. And that's the problem. Almost everybody in the church ends up falling into the trap of just becoming a manager, trying to cajole everybody into just doing anything. And you go, yeah.
I try to cajole my counselors.
That's right. And you go, I don't want to be in leadership. It says, there's certain people that need to be in leadership. People that have a certain talent for this kind of stuff. No, and that's not leadership. That's management. They need to be in management callings. It says, we call it leadership, and that's not what it is. It's management.
Oh, the whirly gig's not blowing. I turned it, and the wind's blowing.
I wonder if they have it shut off.
I think that's called a whirly gig.
Yeah, it is, Matt, but I call it a whirly gig.
Because I started calling it a whirly gig, and it caught on.
It's just a cuter name than whinging.
Yeah, it's not. You know, it's derisive, and you go, good night, it's a hunk of metal. Why are you anthropomorphizing a freaking hunk of metal? It's just a stinking, you know, it's got feelings. Don't make it feel bad. Make sure you give it the proper respect. And you go, what respect? It's a hunk of metal. You people are goofy. Anyway. Most of the time I just note it, stick it in my back pocket. I think you're right. I need to write stories to mostly purge myself of angst for this and that and this and that. And to do it in a way that doesn't threaten Lisa and her nest and her income and all that good stuff. That's important. And her future pension.
Well, if you get fired, they take away your pension, then you can do whatever.
Yeah, but wouldn't you rather have security?
Yes.
Okay, that's kind of what we're going for. I used to get really resentful of that. You know, at least keeping me back because she's so scared about things. And you go, well, this is marriage, man. Marriage is, you take care of everybody. You've tried to get Lisa to do some risky things. Occasionally she will, as long as it feels kind of safe. Says, but yeah, I said, no, Lisa is not an adventurous person. She is not willing to take risks or anything like that. That's just not her. And so, yeah. You are more important than these other things. Although I still need to get my digs in on everything, on all these things. But I'm smart enough, I can find ways to get it done without threatening your existence, Lee. God gave me a brain, for Pete's sake. I can use it for that. So yeah, that is good. So yeah, that's why fiction is so safe. You can just say, I'm just writing a story. And they go, yes, but you say this, you say this. It's a story. It's fiction. If you're reading something into it, whatever. You know? And people can't immediately blame you for it. You know? You don't start doing the social justice for your friends. Which is kind of what I've been doing with essays. I see, this is what I think of it. I go, dude, stop doing that. That's dumb. You're gonna end up on the bad side of some pretty nasty people. If you do it as fiction, you know. You just lay it down and you See? I'm kind of pulling the same stunt that Lucretia does. You know? It's really hard to pin stuff on her because you're saying, so what's her motivation? How do I stay ahead of her? And you go, you don't. You don't stay ahead of her. She just does what she does. The only way to stop her is to kill her. But guess what? You really have no justification to kill her. It's just this weird feeling that women have that they want her dead. And the weird feeling that men have that they want to be with her and spend time with her. And yeah, if you kill her, it'll just be you being a sick, twisted puppy, and you'll go to jail or burn for it, one or the other. And that usually keeps people from doing it. Is she your enemy? And you're going, I can't pin down that she's my enemy. Is your husband having an affair with her? And you go, I don't think so. And then, you know, and I'm sorry, people look at her, look at him, look at you as a woman, and they go, so he's leaving you for her? And it's like, oh, that's not going to work either, you know? There isn't this, she's a homewrecker. And you're going, how could she possibly be a homewrecker? She did not infiltrate this situation. Your husband invited her in for one reason or another. Who knows what? She has no particular education. You bring her into your, you know, guys will bring her into whatever they're up to for reasons that don't exactly make a lot of sense to them either. Why is some low-level clerk at an insurance agency all of a sudden advising this guy on how to make sure that he doesn't make any mistakes, you know, in this big insurance scam he wants to run? Because he saw the 9/11 thing and said, hey, I can do that too. Yeah. It's like, oh, she's a homewrecker, and you go, so how did she wheedle her way into your life? And you go, she didn't. We hired her to cook or take care of the baby or something innocuous like that. Well, did she have references? I guess, oh no. She doesn't have any references. My husband just kind of ran into her, and for some reason, he connected up the fact that you know, she could take care of the kids, or cook meals for us, or something. You don't understand that there's this weird chemical thing going on. It's playing with his head. And you really don't know if she's a good person or a bad person, particularly. She really, at least in the first book, and I would imagine it would continue, she seems to just be neutral. You can't tell what she is. The chances of her becoming an executive vice president in any number of corporations is excellent.
She gets to stay at somebody's place taking care of their kids and cooking.
No, no. Some books she'll be that, and the other books she'll be the executive vice president because some chief executive officer feels some incredible need to put her in his inner circle. For no good reason. But can I be honest? A lot of people in executive circles have no aptitude for being there. You know? They're just old buddies or something. So that could definitely happen. Now I'm just saying, in each individual book, it's going to be interesting how Lucretia appears in their life. They may just decide to take her in as some homeless woman. Which really works well, because yeah, the wife would hate it, the husband would, you know, this makes me look good, or whatever, you know. It just occurred to me, I was walking down the street, minding my own business, and I decided I was going to take in this kind of scruffy looking woman. She was just walking by, and you're going, you don't even know if she's homeless. And we have no idea, because it seems like over time she would be amassing this amazing fortune, right? But it seems like that she doesn't act like she has one, nor does she really care. I don't know if I'm going to try to spook that too much.
So, it almost sounds like she's a weird kind of Mary Poppins.
Yes.
Pops out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Into your life.
But a weird, compelling figure that by her very presence starts changing stuff. Because Mary Poppins did that, right?
Yeah.
Hers was all wonderful and positive, I guess. It's in the Disney movie. And for this one, it's like, not necessarily. It says, it's just intrinsic. If you're hiding anything, if you're being deceptive in any way, and most people are, it said, it will come out. Because even unspoken, this woman has something that men want and that women hate. And that on both counts, you will start getting the stuff out of them. If you anger a woman a whole lot, she is going to start saying things she shouldn't say. She'll start, her guard will falter because of emotionalism. Men, I'm sorry, it's all about their scrotum. they will confide in you in the hopes that you will, you know,
get in bed
with them. And yeah. I don't know how that would affect children. I kind of like your whole thought that she's kind of a weird anti Mary Poppins. Not quite anti, but you know, she isn't here with some high and mighty altruistic goal, right? Or like Nanny Mc. Yeah. And magical things don't happen around her. It's just people. The biggest thing is people lose control. They lose composure. And that's when you start seeing the real person, right? And they are revealed. And so, yeah, you could come back and say, could be sex going on there, could be blackmail, could be 100 things. And we're going to keep up the question about, she knows this, and she knows this, and she knows this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this. How's she going to get him to stop behaving that way? Or whatever. Or is she going to even stop? Sometimes she might choose not to. It might be just to get a new lunch. One of her old, I don't know what to call them, victims? Whatever. And that's what the user could say as the narrator of the story. One of her, I'm not sure what to call them, victims? Has died. And now she's not getting lunch on Thursdays. She needs lunch on Thursdays now. She's trying to fill a hole. And that may be her only motivation, is just to make sure she gets fed on Thursday. All of a sudden jump out in front of you so you can kill me. Especially at that speed. It wouldn't kill me, probably.
It's just
injury. Yeah, see, and what's that? If I'm going to do something like that, I want to make sure I die. Look again.
I'm telling you, you look again.
Look at that Honda. There is no license plate on it.
Okay, maybe you
know. Golly, I don't mean to be rude. Why? You're going blindly.
I can see.
I love you. And I hate to bring it up because it's going to make him weird. He's going to end up doing something nobody wants.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm not, you know, he's going to turn me in for him. I have your license plate. You go, no, yeah, I'm not gonna. So I'm just pointing up to my wife, trying to do it quietly, but then she was like, oh, well, it does. It's like, Lisa, are you okay? For being the person who always prides herself on being right.
I don't pride myself on that.
Always tell me you're right and I'm wrong. I just accept it as a fact that when it's just so blatantly in front of me that I'm the one that's got the better information, it just kind of floors me. That's all. I love you, Lee. So, anyway. News is about exposing people for having motives other than what they have. You know, this Dr. Fauci fella, the fact that he's heavily invested in drug companies that do stuff. Well, I don't know if he's fired, but he should be let go. We're just saying you got a conflict.
Yeah.
But you'd have to get rid of almost everybody in government, because that's one of the main reasons why and how they get into government is because they want to regulate a field that they quote know about. Dog is a companion. Why? anxiety is throw them out in the backyard and ignore them.
Yeah.
So it seems like you're a pretty crappy companion.
So you don't take them out for walks.
Yeah. Look at me, at least it takes me out for walks.
I take Matt out for walks too.
Okay. Well, I don't want to go that down that road too much.
Thank you.
I just want you to know that I'm a good companion. I know you've just seen that I don't have to be with you every evening. I am a little leery that I think I'll get in trouble with my son.
Well, it's the Friday evening. You should be there with me because that's supposed to be a date night anyway.
Yeah. Well, I'll try some more stuff and you let me know when I can. Make sure you do.
Okay.
Don't sock to me like always, Lee, and
like
wait until you're angry.
You wanted to watch Ghost Protocol.
I was indifferent. You shoved me.
And you were sleeping. I glanced over and you were sleeping, and it's like, well, it's a good thing I don't mind watching Ghost Protocol because.
Pretty much like everything in our set. There's like maybe four movies total that you didn't choose and you don't like. The rest of it's all stuff you like. Because I don't care. And when you twist my arm to make me make choices, I'm confused because you know what I'm doing? I'm trying to figure out what you would like to watch.
Fine.
And it really is. It's like pointless.
All you have to do is, I don't care, you
did. Lisa, you get really tight. You've gotten on to me.
That's true.
For doing that.
That's true.
So, no, it's okay. We can keep playing the game, that's fine. Because it does. It keeps you getting upset to feel like you're just doing everything.
I should ask you.
Lifetime and not Lifetime, Hallmark movies work just fine. The basic premise is, girl is going after something she thinks she wants. She either gets what she wants, and that's good, or she figures out that what she thought she wanted, she really didn't want, but that she can still get what she wants. You know, and it usually involves a guy, because there's always that element of it. But the guy's really a secondary character. You know. The guy always wants her. That's obvious. Right? You don't even have to question that. Even if he acts like he doesn't, you always know he really does. It's that whole, you know, you hate what you love, kind of weird psychological I don't think is really very high. And then I need to work more on my fun style. So I think that's going to be half of it. Douglas Adams, who I like as a writer, it was, the storylines were silly and didn't make any sense at all. The wonder of it was his writing style. It was just funny and quirky, and he's like, oh, I'd have fun with that. And you go, yeah, never, you'd have more fun.
Yeah, you do.
In your writing. It's getting a little too dark.
Yep. Just right here, though.
That's okay. You know, I can bring up stuff. It's all right. But do it in a funny way.
Yeah.
That way it puts people off. You know, people will be having a fun time and it's like, oh my God, it's up on Earth. And it's like, wow, that was real pithy. And you go, yeah, we stick it in there. So it talks a lot about human nature. Mostly about our darker, worst tendencies. Greed. I'm sorry, I don't think sloths are cute at all. You're right. I agree with you there. But that was real funny. Matt Meese is a really smart guy. Yeah. I have no interest in it. And people will find that if there's any character that I have more in common with anything else, it'll be like Lucretia, except that I don't have any common. I'm just really kind of a neutral, blah kind of guy, out in public. And yeah. Let your book say what you want to have said. Don't take it into some kind of weird platform. Central figure here. The whole thing is keeping cars coming at you.
Yeah.
It's a turtle.
Scared.
Oh, I wouldn't blame him. Where's he headed? No, I'm sorry. Let me get out of the...
Okay.
Gotta move fast. He's trucking.
Gotcha.
I hope he finds someplace.
Me too.
Looks like he's gotten hit a couple of times. fella.
I wonder if he's going to some jitters.
Yeah, like somebody ran him, a couple of guys ran him over. Oh yeah. The reader probably reacting to the story like they are. What the heck is that about? What is this with Lucretia? What does she do? And it's like, they don't let me in. The door closes. I'm just as blind as anybody else. I'm just telling you what happened. That's all. Somebody's like, you know, how come always some weird, twisted, difficult murder happening around Vermont? Yeah, answer me that question, too. It's inexplicable. Maybe it's fiction!
I know. Murder, she wrote.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, oh my God.
She lives in a tiny town, but there's deaths all
the time. Yeah, there's deaths all the time.
Yeah, she knows a friend who knew somebody who died.
I think somebody finally caught on, and she was often away from her nice home place in big things, and people would come and say, come help us with this, because you're so smart. Yeah. So, yeah. Lucretia becomes this international woman of mystery type thing. Except, we're not kidding. She's really mysterious. We don't know. Is she driven by some otherworldly force that's trying to right wrongs? Or, you know? What does Anna Lucretia all the time? The truth wants to come out. So it does. People will be sitting there at some press conference, and all of a sudden, they'll say it's probably true. And they shouldn't have said. And that is the best part, when you just go, oh my gosh, it was like they just couldn't lie anymore. They had to say something that was true. But that's okay, because we're almost guaranteed that the media will bury it, so you don't ever have to see their revelation, right? That's important. And you can have a whole book about the mainstream media and how it works, you know? And you go, oh, Nero's just a big conspiracy theorist. And you go, dude, it's fiction. I'm just talking about what I hear other people talking about.
Dead
a
house.
House. Not the best mouse, a dead mouse.
Yeah, I'm going to run it over.
That's good. Good aim. Excellent job. I'm happy. Anyway. Yeah, and then I've got that other thing that I've always really liked, although it seemed like it was going to be better as short stories. Which don't sell, of course, but you go, who cares about selling? already make enough money. I'm not looking to change my career at this point, particularly. Although, if it does get popular and I get rich, I'm not going to be upset. Lisa won't be, that's for sure. Anyway. Break all the rules. Everybody will just be so upset. But that's probably how it'll do well. People go, it's so different. And the short stories are, you know, the whole Oomla thing. I told you about that a long time ago, right? The whole spleen.
Yeah.
And this and that. And it's like, oh my gosh. I really like the idea that somehow people in the past understood things a lot better than we do. Because, you know, we're so cocky. We're so much smarter and richer and better than anybody who's ever lived before. I always thought it was fun to have somebody who is so clearly smarter than you were, and that they were from, like, the Dark Ages. That he could time travel, and he didn't need some kind of weird machine to do it, he could just do it. And it's like, yeah, I learned how. And you go, well, how come we don't know that? And you go, because you're stupid. and he's like that. He's totally, you know, he's not from around here, so he's not a politically correct person. He'll gladly just use terms that are totally offensive. And you just sit there, and you go, but he's such a bad person. You go, but yeah, he's so much more capable than you are. I said, and frankly, he might have a different morality than you do. You know, the whole Q continuum thing, where they said, this is all based on morality, and Patrick Stewart was getting all in his face. I would put my morality against yours any day of the week. And you're going, John Luke, you are so limited, it's hard to say if anything you do like that makes any difference at all. What I see in you is pride. And what did Q do? Send them to the board to humble them, right? Because they had, and he even admitted at the end, we thought we had everything worked out, that we were so evolved and so smart, so in control of things. And then they got to the Borg, and they said, oh my gosh, the Borg are going to destroy us easily and assimilate us easily, and they might not even be interested in assimilating us because we're so primitive. And so under their interest. I thought that would be interesting, but yeah, I bet you it wouldn't have made for any decent storyline. Being just easily walked over, that's not very good TV. I'm wondering if it could become a decent book series. Or at least to meet somebody like that, who's obviously so much more advanced than you are from the past, that you don't think much of, you know. People back then were so dumb. You know. They didn't even know how to do this. They didn't even have cell phones. And you meet some guy who it's like, a cell phone is just a silly, frivolous, idiotic thing. And you're going, oh my gosh. I'm not smart, I'm frivolous. And you go,